Everything must converge in time. Well, maybe not must converge, but sometimes will converge. AT&T announced it plans to buy T-Mobile USA for $39 billion. And if you own a cell phone, this matters to you. It doesn't matter if you're an AT&T T-Mobile customer. It also matters if you have a Verizon phone or a Sprint phone. Here to explain, we have Carl Howe with us. He's the director of research at the Yankee Group, which is an independent technology research and consulting firm based in Boston. You know, Carl, we're going to get into kind of the ins and outs of some of the things people may not realize will be affected by this deal. But first, the first thing I thought of, and I imagine most people did, was, you know, I'm an AT&T customer. My signal's about to get better. Is at least that true?
That is. It's one of the really powerful things about this deal. I mean, this is really about two types of real estate, one of which is the real estate for the cell towers, and T-Mobile has a lot of cell towers in places where AT&T doesn't, so it improves your reception when you're on your cell phone. The other type of real estate, though, is radio real estate, which is the spectrum that T-Mobile owns. And you've probably heard AT&T is planning on building out some new really high-speed networks, and that spectrum is really important for doing that. So two types of real estate are really what make this deal compelling for AT&T.
Okay, that's good news. But let me ask you a little bit about some of the things that worry me, okay? There's one thing that people may not realize, and that is that there's two kind of standards for cell phone service, right? I mean, there's AT&T and T-Mobile worked on GSM, and Verizon and Sprint both use CDMA. They're all supposed to move to LTE, which is long-term evolution. That's not going to happen for a really long time. But the reason why this matters is that phone makers who use the GSM standard, like Motorola, they're going to have one customer now. Doesn't that mean AT&T controls what kind of phones they make and what price they sell them?
You should be an analyst, Celeste, because that's exactly what's happening. You're going to have one company that buys most of the GSM phones in the United States, and that means they're going to have immense pricing power and the ability to dictate terms to many of those phone manufacturers. So, yeah, it could be good for consumers if they use that power to lower prices. It could be bad for consumers if they decide to keep some of those models limited in access. And we just don't know how it's going to turn out.
But is the U.S. market as significant as it once was? Doesn't the global market also determine what the manufacturers can do here, and they have some leverage?
Yeah, that's a great point, particularly when you look to places like China. The United States is not the largest mobile market. China is. And as a result, that means that it's a little bit more of an open market than it used to be. So you're exactly right on that.
Although, Carl Howe, of the Yankee Group and an independent technology research group, here's another thing that worries me. And I certainly have no interest in Google. I don't know anybody that works there. And I don't have any stock in the company. But I do worry that they could be a bigger loser here than consumers who might have to pay higher prices. From what I understand, Google had a very good partner in T-Mobile on their Android phones and on the apps. I mean, T-Mobile had their own app store. So what happens with some of the innovations that T-Mobile was moving forward with?
I think that's a great question. T-Mobile was noted for betting heavily on two new technologies, one of which was Google Android when it was brand new. And a lot of people at that point were saying, and it really had no chance. They actually helped get Google on the map and turned them into the mobile powerhouse they are today. But they've also been a leader in putting a new high-speed networking technology called HSPA+. And you don't need to know the acronyms, but it's just higher speed GSM is the way to think about it. And they've been right out in front trying to push that to up and approaching the speeds we see on LTE. So they've really been pushing the market to go forward. AT&T has had a lot more legacy networks to deal with, so they haven't been quite as aggressive. Again, we just don't know how those services will be integrated within AT&T.
And this deal could possibly knock Sprint out of there, right? I mean, we're talking about Verizon and AT&T virtually controlling 70% of the market with almost 300 million mobile phone subscribers in the United States should this deal go forward. And Sprint and often in T-Mobile were the group that opposed AT&T and Verizon on a number of regulatory issues. Now Sprint stands alone.
It's true. The thinking is that they might want to look at some of their smaller competitors, companies like Metro PCS, Leap and the like, and see if they could consolidate them into a larger entity. But they're really fighting for third. These two players, Verizon and AT&T, will, as you say, control the vast majority of the market.
Isn't it ironic, though, that Carl Howe, that Sprint is left over from GTE, the old phone company that actually confronted the original Ma Bell as part of the Southern Pacific Railroad, and they're going up against Verizon and AT&T, which are the remnants of the old Ma Bells from the 1980s?
It is. It's the battle of the bells all over again. And it's funny how these things work out. On the other hand, I think you have to realize that both the FCC and the Department of Justice get to review this deal. They may have input on how this deal goes down.
Although AT&T seems very confident at this point, Carl. I want to ask you one more question. First, I want to play this comment from Wayne Watts, who's the general counsel for AT&T.
1999 to 2009, prices dropped by 50%. As carriers combined to achieve efficiencies, showing that transaction efficiencies have historically flowed through to consumers.
In the time we have left, Carl, please tell me that's true. Are consumers going to see lower prices or no?
I think you're going to see status quo for quite a while. This is going to take at least 12 months to approve, and I think even after they merge, there's a lot of expense in putting these networks together. So I wouldn't expect lower prices. On the other hand, you wouldn't see necessarily a lot higher prices. Verizon's still out there, and they're going to be hungry.
Carl, do the Department of Justice's phones, are they Verizon or AT&T?
I have no idea. You'll have to ask them.
Carl Howe, Director of Research at the Yankee Group, which is an independent technology research and consulting firm based in Boston. But he talked to us from Orlando, Florida. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.